vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Mausavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadhatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will do the offering of lights, perfume, incense, flower, and water. We will chant the Pali. Padipa puja. Gandha sarapaditena. Dipena tamadang sina teloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaya pujani yang tang puja bacana buddhamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santhatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujimi buddhang kasumena nena punena metena ca hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yatta idang me kayo tathayati vinasabhavang adivave setuno bante paniyang parikampitang anukampang upadaya patigang hotu muttamang. Okay, we turn to the last page. Yeah? Page 18, we will do the personal puja. Okay, significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and dulls off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significant of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. So we'll make the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give you a big respect to the Triple Gem. Bundang Pujem. Damang Pujem. Sanghang Pujem. Okay. So, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So, before we start, we would like to thank all those who have made this puja possible. Of course, Kayanamitra Fund is also participating in every puja, because whatever puja is done, all those money that people maybe use to buy whatever offering for this puja, they shall be reimbursed from Kayanamitra Fund. But some of them have decided to donate back and all those things. So we should rejoice with all their wholesomeness. So today may be something different. Stephanie has got his, what they call, homegrown rose. Roses, the small pot up there in front of Kuan Yin, and she came here to put them together with Sister Alicia. So we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then Chin Hao has been bringing the garland. So now he learned. You see, he get more and more precise. The length of the garland now very accurate. You see, very neatly hang onto Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and even Sakyamuni Buddha. So we should rejoice. When you make all this offering with understanding, then with the faith, the merits, the field of merits is measurable, immeasurable, limitless. Then this will bring forth the joy in you, and this faith will strengthen. Then all this offering, they have their significance. Then if we know how to make aspiration as per what we did, it will actually it will actually arise the causes and conditions to fulfill whatever aspiration that you have made, because you make it via your understanding. You invoke the power of all this wholesomeness that you have developed through this understanding of the significance of all these items that we offered. So these are very useful. Then not to miss on others, my wife also, he went to the market, bought some flowers, the big flowers and the what they call, the fragrant one, what? That just mean. Then the fruits, I think, came from Yun Chan, Stephanie, Alicia, and many. Yeah, Kayanamita Fan also bought. So my wife also used Kayanamita Fan, some of the fruits and the what they call grapes. So we offer back to Kayanamita Fan. So we should all rejoice together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And also we should thank all Kayanamitas for coming over to partake in this puja. It has very, very special significance. You do it with understanding faith. It will actually strengthen your spiritual faculty and can give rise to a lot of blessings and wholesomeness. So actually tonight, I think Chui requested for a new sutta to be shared. He wants to listen to this Mangala Sutta. So we wait for her to come. So in the meantime, what we can do is we can have some time to meditate. Maybe we will spend 20 minutes. Okay. Yes. Now I cut short to half an hour. 9 o'clock we end. Because Chui say we don't have much time every time, he said. Then the sharing is like not enough time. He said, when I give talk in Klang, it's so different now, he said. Because she, every time, since the recent last few months, I think, almost the last 1 year, she has been very enthusiastic and she never missed the Klang talk, Friday talk. Every month we're supposed to have one. And she found that, she finds that the topic is very different. The approach and the explanation, they are very much more detailed. I told her sure detail because it's a talk. I only focus on one topic. So no meditation, no Q&A. We don't talk other things. Oh, is it like that? Our class should be like that. But we only have 2 hours. So when she suggested that one, I said, no, earlier on Yun Chan already suggested to me that we must have some meditation, otherwise we don't have meditation, we stop our Saturday class. So as a good compromise, I think, if I stop at 9 o'clock, I still got 1.5 hours. The normal talk is about 1.5 to 2 hours, because Q&A is for the last half an hour. So here, I think can. 1.5 hour we should be able to. Unless we really have special topic where we need more time, then I told Chui we can be flexible. We skip maybe every month, 1 week, no meditation. We straight away go into the sutta. So it depends on how you all actually wanted it. I say for me, any of this order is okay for me. What I need is feedback. Feedback from you all, how it can actually benefit you all more. That is more important. Then that you must have meditation first. At least we have 3 weeks a month. 2 or 3 weeks a month, you must have meditation first. So now we will start our meditation. Off the light. Help to off the light. Alright. So we off the light and you can start your meditation. Yes. Next to it. Okay. Oh, good. Now everybody know where the lights are. It's very good. Okay. So you can just relax body and mind. Then start your meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you straight away start. For those who still need to train your mind, maybe you do whatever that is appropriate. If you need to develop metta, mind sweeping method, to calm the thing down, to decondition whatever heedless thinking, you can also do. Then after that, just relax body and mind and develop either anapanasati or whatever skillful means that can help you to maintain the inner peace, the inner awareness, and the silence within. The whole of meditation is just to train your mind so that it is aware, heedful. And this training will help you to develop the meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, because your spiritual faculty is already there, when we do the puja, you already have the sadha, virya, and the sati come from your daily mindfulness, and also your bowing, your paying of respect, and all those things. So all this will maintain very good spiritual faculties. So when you come here to meditate, you can settle down very fast. You just silence your mind, relax body and mind. Your mind straight away go into silence. Then if you need the object of meditation to anchor it, you continue with it. If you don't need, you just silence, relax, maintain awareness at your heart. Then always remember the four support. The first support is to relax into every state that arises. Whatever method, technique, or training you do, or whatever calm state that you experience, relaxed state, you continue to relax deep into it. It is only through this relaxation you can completely free your mind, and you can check whether you got problem or not, you got attachment or not, you got wrong view or not. People who have wrong view, attachment, and problems, they cannot relax. Their mind very active. They think a lot. The hindrance are there. So don't have to fight the hindrance. Just allow it to be. Whatever thought that arise, because maybe sometime during your daily life, you cannot really have the daily mindfulness develop because you got a lot of duties, responsibility, and work. And so because of that, because you have not stabilized your daily mindfulness, so this heedlessness sometimes come back. So when you come for the meditation, it's very appropriate and good if you can learn how to relax and just allow it to be. Whatever thought that continue from your daily life, you allow it to be. Then it will slow down on its own and it will settle down. And you will understand clearly why the Buddha recommend the third way to overcome unwholesome state of mind. By just silent your mind, relax, aware, and just silent. So if you have that understanding, it will help you. Okay, now I will let you all develop the meditation yourself. I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time. Okay. What else do you want to meditate? You can continue. For the seminar, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Is Chui here? She hasn't come. Oh, maybe this week she may not come. Never mind. If she is not around, we continue with our notes. Last Tuesday, I think we got these notes. You all still have it? Those who don't have, you can borrow from the blue. The blue pack is the notes. Okay, we can also do the invocation of the devas. Then after that, we will chant the 80 peso. Then after that, only we start. Turn to page 6 of your chanting book. I will read the invocation first. Then after that, only we chant together. Page 6. Invocation to the Deva, Deva Ratana. Samantha Chakavalesu Atraka Chantu Devata Satamang Munin Rajasa Sunantu Sakala Mongkadang Tamana Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata. Okay, we will chant together. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vicca charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta devan manusanang buddho bhagavate Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko Opanayiko pachatang veditago vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chatari purisayukane Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, maybe I haven't really gone through with you all on the significance of this invocation of the devas and the recitation of the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Maybe I will do a detailed one tonight, huh? So that you understand the significance. Most of the time we only chant the Pali. Then you're supposed to develop your understanding when you're at home. So I don't know how many of you really do that and have developed some form of good understanding. But this invocation to the devas, inviting them to partake, has a lot of synergy and asana. When we develop this together with the devas, especially the cultivators and the Dhamma protectors, they not only rejoice, they also will actually help protect the sasana. Then they also have their own understanding, their own cultivation, their own development. So together with them, the collective consciousness can be very strong. That's why it is a very good practice since the Buddha's time to do that. And they feel like very honored that we invite them to partake in asana. It's just like people invite you to come partake in the sharing of whatever Dhamma or truth that they are doing. So I will read to you. Invocation to the devas. So during the Buddha's time, so he chanted this Samanta Chakavalesu. So the meaning is, in the universe, in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which is that of the Buddha, which gives heaven and release. Gives heaven means you will have the good line to be reborn in the heavenly realms. Then if you can make it, then you can realize the enlightenment. That's why release from suffering, release from birth and death, repeated birth and death. Then after that, you recite this Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayan Bandata. So this is like requesting them. This is the time to listen to the doctrine of the Blessed One. Then if you are chanting the Paritta, then it means this is the time to listen to the Paritta chant. So for us, we more like share the Dhamma. Chui is here. I think it's Chui. So if Chui here, we go back to Mangala Sutta. We see how it goes. Ah, yeah, Chui is here. Yeah. We are spot on. So we will do your Mangala Sutta tonight. Chui, we waited for you. But while waiting for you, I explain the meaning of this chanting. The Devaratana means invocation of Deva. I just finished that part. Then now I will go through the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then after that, we can start the Mangala Sutta. Okay. The Vandana, I think you all understand. This is the homage. So we chant Namutasa, the meaning is homage to the Blessed One, the Worthy One, and the Full Enlightened One. Means the salutation to Lord Buddha and the Sangha, all the fully enlightened Buddhas. So this one is a general salutation. Homage to thee. The Buddha is the Blessed One. He is blessed with what? Blessed with what? Virtue and wisdom. Anasana. All of the perfection, the virtues, and all of the wisdom. That's why he is the Blessed One. Then he is the Worthy One, because he is the fully enlightened one. Anasana. So worthy of respect, offering, reverential salutation, and hospitality and shelter, give and all these things. So because of that, that homage is very significant, and you do it with mindfulness. That's why it's very meaningful. And this is one of the 10 meritorious actions when you pay respect mindfully. And when you do it with the faith and the understanding, and you understand that you are paying respect to a Sammasambuddha and a Sangha. You know what the merit is like, you know, when you pay respect to a Sammasambuddha or all the great bodhisattvas. Their field of merit is immeasurable. But you must do it with understanding, with the faith.
Then after that, when we chant the salutation to the Buddha, the Buddha Vandana, the meaning is, such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, the perfectly enlightened one, endowed with wisdom and virtue. They use the word knowledge, actually it's wisdom and virtue. Then Sugato, the accomplished one. Then Lukkavido is knower of the world, understand? Whatever that can be known, past, present and future, the Sammasambuddha can understand. And they actually has the wisdom. Then after that is Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati. So this is a special virtue of the Buddha, the nine great virtue. This is one of them. He is called the teacher, a guide incomparable in training. Means when it comes to training living beings to become enlightened, he is the best. They call it a guide incomparable. Nobody can compare to him. That's why it's called Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati. Then Satta Deva Manusanang. This one is easy. Deva Manusanang is man and God. Satta is teacher of man and God. Then Buddha Bhagavati, the enlightened one, the blessed one. Then when it comes to the Dhamma, this one I think we have gone through. The Buddha always proclaim to you the characteristics of the Dhamma so that the monks, the cultivator, the lay people, they understand what are the true Dhamma, what are its characteristics. So the Buddha said, Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Blessed One. Then he said, this Dhamma is sandhitical, can be realized in the here and the now. So you don't have to wait till you die. So this Dhamma is sandhitical, can be realized in the here and the now. Here the translation is not so accurate, to be self-realized. Self-realized is one aspect of it. But sandhitical here means here and the now, means before you die. Then akaliko, this Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time, timeless. Then ehipasiko means this Dhamma, it will stand up to investigation. You can come and investigate into it. Yeah, it is the truth. It will stand up to investigation. Then it has this characteristics of opanaiko, leading inwards to the heart. So here they translate as onward leading to Nibbana, which is also in a way true. But it's leading inwards towards your nature, your true mind, your true nature. Then pacetang veditabo vinohiti. This is the most important characteristic. This Dhamma can only be understood by the wise, each by themselves, nobody else. Then the unique characteristics of the Sangha, salutation to the Sangha, Sangha Vandana. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, we always chant. So he said, this Aryan Sangha means the enlightened disciples of the Buddhas. They are of good conduct, is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Then Ujjupatipanno is of upright conduct, is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Then Nyaya is wisdom. Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, that of wise conduct, is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Then Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, the meaning is of dutiful conduct, is the order of the Blessed One disciple. Is they really, really hold on to their duties. They never violate any of their duties towards nature's law, towards humanity, relationship, environment, everything. They never violate. Then the other thing is, he said, this disciple of the Blessed One, he said, the four pairs of individuals, four pair means 4 × 2 = 8, he said, the 8 types of individual, they are worthy of offering hospitality, worthy of gift, worthy of reverential salutation. And when this is done, the field of merit is incomparable to the world. So this is the reason why the Triple Gem, they are so unique. Because within all this Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the teaching is there. And all of the great virtue and wisdom are all there. And these are the, what they call, refuge, absolute. There is no other refuge in this universe that you can rely on to liberate your mind, except the refuge in this tree, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. That's why in the Dhammapada verse, the Buddha mentioned it, there is no refuge safe except within the Triple Gem. Because it is only within the Triple Gem, the Buddha said, you can find the Four Noble Truths. Out of the Triple Gem, there is no Four Noble Truths. So the Triple Gem are very unique. They are very, very special. So because of that, he always advised the monk to chant this during their whatever Dhamma activity, meditation, and all those things. Earlier on, because when we haven't really reached that serious phase of cultivation, I just do the normal puja, anasana. We just chant Namotasa, we pay respect, then Namotasa, then we take refuge, then after that we renew our 5 precepts, we finish. Then this year onward, I introduced the Triple Gem, because like I foresee last year, I said the Dhamma will flourish for the Kayanamitta next year, means this year. So it really happened, and it happened at such an amazing rate. That's why everything just like fall into place and just happened. Then the visit to Sumeru, trigger of the arrival of the Buddha Rupang. Then later on, Sakyamuni Buddha's Rupang, one to us, our Thursday class, the other one to Chui. Then the latest is after a Mesan trip, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva Rupang also came. Then when we went to this Anandagiri, we were given the condition to consecrate and enshrine Maitreya Buddha. Then Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, we did the chanting, everything. Then finally also Sakyamuni Buddha, the three together. So all this has come about and fallen into place. And the condition is such that a lot of Kayanamitta has actually progressed very fast. And they have developed the understanding, and some of them have good paths connected. So because of that, this year onward, I start to introduce the full range of puja. Then we can do the invocation, invitation of the devas to partake and all those things. Last time we do our session, then after that closing puja, we just share merit, transfer merit to develop affinity with the Dhamma protectors and all the devas and the sana. So that has been established for quite long already. So now we introduce this final to complete the whole thing. Then the puja book is very important. I had added in a few things. The 5 daily contemplation, the asking for forgiveness, and the other one is making aspiration, invoking the power of merits and wholesomeness. They are on page 16 and 17. Then when you understand all the significance of all this offering of flowers, candle, incense, light, clear water, and then you invoke the personal puja that I have helped you all to develop. You all should thank Sister Ellen. She find it so beautiful that she tried to write something. Then I saw what she wrote. Actually, she want to do expression, but she put it in a way that time was not sequenced, not properly done up. So I actually rewrite the thing, edited. That's how that thing came about. So that one will actually pave the way for you to be very focused about your offering and how to invoke the blessings, the power of merits, to channel all this wholesomeness towards enlightenment, towards progress along the path of Dhamma. So all these are very, very beautiful conditions that have taken place. So that's why we should actually rejoice, and we should thank also Padmasuri. We are somehow very funny. She wanted to print this chanting book since the early years, but she didn't know how to do. Then she go and copy from somewhere. Then that day house Dana, I think middle of this year, when I went to her house, she showed me the chanting book. That time was a booklet only, I think a photostat copy or so. Then I looked through, I said, this is quite similar to Ramananda. He said, yeah, Ramananda. Then he said she got this intention to do it out. I said, can. I said, I will draft a few more things for you to add in. Then I drafted page 16, 17. Then Alan came about 18, page 18. Then I actually streamlined the whole thing. That's how this chanting book came about. And she was so full of faith, she and the husband too, very kind of them. They actually donated the whole thing to Kalyanamita Fund. Yeah, I want Kalyanamita Fund to print this. They went and looked for a publisher, they print and they donated all the money back. So that's why we should thank them. We say sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we finish. So we will do the Mangala Sutta as I promised you all. So this one, you all should thank Chui. She suggested this topic. It's a very good topic. Those who have this book, Daily Buddhist Devotion by our late Chief K. Sridhamananda, you can turn to page 93. Turn to page 93. Oh, sorry, 94. 93 is the title, Mangala Sutta. You know the meaning of the title, isn't it? What is the meaning of Mangala Sutta? How many of you haven't heard of this sutta? Everybody haven't heard? Oh, how many of you have heard of this sutta? Oh, a few only. Wow. This is a very important sutta. You turn to the title page, you will know. Discourse on blessings. So, recital for blessings on auspicious occasion, you can chant this sutta. And this is a very, very famous sutta. So, Mangala Sutta is actually the sutta on true blessing. What constitute true blessings? Because during the Buddha's time, some of the devas, they were quite actually confused as to what constitute blessings. Because up there, you know, in the deva plane, they got different teaching. Then different teaching explain it differently. So they want to know from Sakyamuni Buddha the true blessing, what constitute true blessings. So now we come to this question. What are blessings? Do you all know the difference between merits and blessings or not? Is there any difference between merits and blessing? You cultivate 10 meritorious actions. What is your understanding? What is merits? Is it the same as blessing? We write on the whiteboard. Okay, I have to write. merits and blessings. Blessings. Are they the same? Ah, okay. In a certain way, yeah, that one can actually also explain, but it doesn't explain much about the different. Understand that? Merits is whatever you do, then you receive merits. Eh? But blessing also same. Whatever you do also brings about blessings. Understand that? But Yun Shan try to like put it in a way. When you say you are very blessed, means what? You already have that, understand that? Understand that? That's why he said you receive, understand that? But this blessing also come through certain actions, understand that? Certain cultivation, understand that? You don't receive it for no cause or reason, understand that? It also come through cultivation. But it's different from merits, understand that? Not only create yourself, merits are like wholesomeness, goodness, understand that? Like generosity, yeah? Dana is a meritorious action, understand that? You keep your precept, it's a meritorious action, understand that? Because it not only protect you, it protect others, understand that? Yeah. So, dana sila, then you meditate, you develop wisdom, you become a blessing to all. You also create merits, understand? It's also a meritorious action. Then when you pay respect to all the worthy ones, those that are worthy of respect, your elders and all those things, they are also meritorious action, the Buddha said. Then when you listen to Dhamma, straighten your view, then you transfer your merits, you share your merits, then you rejoice. Then you help out, you provide service. These are all the merits. The Buddha call it the 10 meritorious actions. When you do this, it constitutes wholesomeness, merits. But blessings are different from merits, understand? Blessings are certain things that you do that brings about great blessings, understand? What is it? I thought Alicia want to share something. If you want to share, you can use the mic. Anybody want to try? What is blessing? You all seldom heard of this. When you have certain condition, then when you cultivate certain thing or you develop certain thing, then it constitute great blessings or real blessings. That's why the Buddha actually expounded this sutta, and this sutta is very important because the devas themselves also wants to know what constitute true blessings. That one is a different type of blessing. It's not what the Buddha teach on that one. That one is you are very blessed because this country is not really subject to earthquake and all those things, understand? But this one actually, whether it's got earthquake or not, it depends on your karma, understand? Even you stay in earthquake zone, when earthquake or tsunami come, nothing happened to you, your karma is good. But if your karma is no good, you may stay in Malaysia, for no reason you go last time tsunami Phuket, you also kena, understand? Or you go Japan and you also get into trouble for nothing. Then like recently, I think, the MH370, understand not? A lot of them are Malaysian, isn't it? Correct not? MH17, I mean, you say they're very blessed in Malaysia, but they go and take their flight from that country, understand not? Or they fly off from here to Beijing, then they are on the flight. So, it's not based on like, you stay in a very good place, then like you are very blessed. Whether you stay in a good place or not good place, it depends on your karma, understand? But blessings are different blessings. Because just now I thought when you say stay, I thought you talk about dwelling. You stay near a place where you can listen to the Dhamma, understand? Do your meditation, cultivate whatever spiritual understanding, and then that constitutes great blessing, understand? Oh, means you have the condition and you do it. Understand or not? You have the condition, you don't do it, there is no blessing. Understand or not? Like you stay in Malaysia, huh? You no earthquake, nothing, then, wow, I'm very blessed. That one is not the blessing that is spoken or expounded under this sutta. Understand or not? Yeah. So, as we go through the sutta, you will start to understand. Then when you understand, you check back. How many of these blessings do you really have? I believe most of us have. Otherwise, you cannot be what you are. Understand? Then, 30 years ago, I remember, when I read this sutta, I was full of joy. Well, a lot of things that is spoken in the sutta, I have them on. Then later on, when after 1989, when I have understood the whole thing, then I read again. Everything that is spoken or expounded under there, my nature has. Means all the blessings now. So it was no coincidence. That's why this sutta is very accurate. If you really have, your spiritual path is very strong, very powerful. That's why every life you come, you will have this one. Then you will know how to develop the blessings. And it will become very, very useful to help you to live life, to understand life, and to really develop all the understanding that you need for you to walk this way, so that you can be a blessing to all. Okay, now we go through the sutta. Last time they used to have this chanting sheet printed, I remember. I forgot which Kayamita already. If I'm not wrong, it's Padmasuri again, I think. She take the trouble to type it out, I think. Then type it out, then print it. But I don't know where it went to. No, not that yellow one. That one is for our offering. He's this Mangala Sutta is one A4 size one, one sheet only. She purposely go and type it out, then photostated it. I don't have the copy, that's why I was thinking I tried to look for it, but I couldn't find. Otherwise, I will photostated it for you all today. But don't worry, I will read to you. Then you all can actually understand. Okay. I will read you the introduction by Chief Raven. This is very good. Mangala Sutta discourse on blessings. What constitute true blessing? According to Chief Raven, he said, the Buddha uttered the following sutta to explain the attainment of real blessing, means true blessings. The sutta itself tells us of the background and the significance of this famous discourse. The Buddha clarified the doubts of the devas when they wanted to know what constitute true blessings. In the Buddhist sense, a blessing is not something which is given by a divine being. That one very important. But a state of well-being which arises within oneself when one lives righteously. This is what you have to do. When you live your life righteously, there will be great blessings. Then the other thing is to maintain the human dignity. Means don't become deluded, foolish, hypocritic, and all those things. Means you must maintain human dignity and creates a healthy environment. It is customary to recite this sutta on auspicious occasion. This sutta is not just for recitation. Devotee must also understand its deep meaning. See? That one is very important. Understand its deep meaning. You don't just chant and chant and chant like parrot. So you must understand its deep meaning. Then the second part is what? Put its principle into practice or cultivation. When you understand already, you really, really put it into practice or cultivate these blessings. It is by cultivating these blessings that the advice was given in this sutta. So the Buddha said, it is by cultivating the advice given in this sutta that one can receive real blessing. If you just chant, recite, and don't cultivate, then you will not receive the blessing. Here, we find the ethical, moral, and spiritual teachings of the masters for the guidance of devotees. Mr. Sakyamuni, actually, he teach in a very wide manner. The discourse tell us that the Buddha's teaching are not confined to just philosophical or psychological aspect of the religion, but extend to the field of social service and cultivation of self-discipline. Since these verses are supposed to be the original words of the Buddhas, Buddhist devotees have high respect and confidence in them. So this one I also can vouch for you. This sutta is very, very authentic and very beautiful. And if you really follow, you will receive a lot of blessings. So the chanting that you all used to hear, last time those who often go for chanting class, you will hear this. Ewang me sutang. Heard of this before? Na? How many of you haven't heard this before? This Pali chanting during the early day, I go Brickfield, they always chant on the Singhalese monk and the, what they call, Sri Lankan monk. Ewang me sutang, ekang samayang bigawa, bhagawa, sarvatiyang viharati jetavene. Then Ananda Pindikasa Arame. So I will read the translation so that you understand. Thus I have heard, on one occasion the Blessed One was dwelling in the monastery of Ananda Pindika in Jeta's grove. Jeta means Jetavana, near Sarvati. When the night was far spent, late in the night, a certain deity whose surpassing splendor illuminate the entire Jeta grove. See? They are very radiant on the sun. So these devas are not ordinary devas, no. They are actually very high devas. That's why he said, a certain deity or deva whose surpassing splendor illuminate the entire Jeta grove came to the presence of the Blessed One and drew near, respectfully salute, and stood on one side. Standing thus, he addressed the Buddha in verse. You listen to this. This is the question the Deva asked. That's why it starts with, Bahum Deva Manusacha Mangalani Achintayang Achintayum Akanka Mana Sotanat Puhi Mangala Muttamang. So this is the question this Deva asked. He said, many deities and men yearn after good have pondered on blessings. Pray, Lord Supreme. Pray, he requested the Buddha, Lord Buddha, tell me the supreme blessing. Means, what are the supreme blessing? Then the Buddha start. He said, first thing that constitute blessing. That's why he asked you to make aspiration. Ipinna punyang kamina. That one when you recite and really, really develop the aspiration, then live by it. Anasana. Because you make aspiration for causes and conditions by the power of all these merits, so that it will arise the causes and conditions for you to always avoid the foolish and heedless. Only meet out with the wise and enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. After you make this aspiration, you must determine and live it. It's not like a parrot. You parrot or you just chant, then you just let it be. It's of not much use. But if you really do it, then it will constitute the first real blessing. The Buddha said, not to follow or associate with fools or heedless one constitute great blessings. Then to associate with the wise constitute great blessing. And to honor those who are worthy of honor constitute great blessings. So these are supreme blessings. So when you make the aspiration, imina punyang kamina, then you really, really live by it, understand not? You are very heedful. So when you are with people who are heedless and foolish, you have to avoid them, understand not? Because you want to avoid, you make the aspiration. So if the condition arise for you to avoid, you should avoid, understand not? Then the condition will bring about causes and conditions for you to meet up with the wise, understand not? But they always say, oh, you meet up with the wise and you don't recognize what happened. You don't know they are the wise one, understand not? Then you don't go after them, no. Instead, you go after those whom your thought tell you, oh, this one must be the wise one. So you have to be careful, understand not? That's why you must develop your own cultivation and investigate into the Triple Gem. What constitute the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha? And then with that understanding, you can differentiate, understand not? Yeah. That's the wise one, they are different. Yeah. They have certain virtues and conduct and understanding. So first criteria for real blessing is very easy there. Yeah? Not to follow or associate with fools. Can do or not? Yeah? Can do or not? Sure can it there. You cannot do that then. Too bad. It's okay. They are not fools enough already. They are not heedless enough already. But if they are heedless and fool, you don't follow them. Don't associate with them. Don't become buddy. Don't like, if they are heavy smoker, drinker, gambler, womanizer, or you become buddy, you associate with them, right, then you get into trouble. But if you don't associate with them, they are just real relative, you just acknowledge them, understand not? Then you play your role, understand not? The condition to help, to advise, you try to say something. But if it's karmically so negative and with all the obstruction, nothing much you can do, understand not? That's why without condition, you don't try to, what they used to say, kipo, understand not? Oh, he's my parent, or my in-law, or my brother, or my sister, or my related one, or I must help, or my good friend. And then without that understanding of causes and condition, you force yourself to do it, you can get into trouble, understand not? Then sometimes you have to understand, not everybody wants to be helped. Then when you try to keep one, you get scolded the other way around. Understand? So when there is no condition to do certain thing, don't actually poke your nose into it. Understand? In the name of what? Doing good. Understand? Want to help. That one is thought-based. Understand? Still delusion. The real understanding is, if there is condition to do certain thing, condition will arise and manifest. Then you will know what to do. That's why you accord and flow, you don't do anything. No condition, nothing happens. And then you are always peaceful. The second one is to associate with the wise. So to do that, you must cultivate. You must recognize what are the characteristics of a wise person. What are the virtue that you look for? What are the understanding and wisdom that you look for? The way they conduct themselves. If the Noble Eightfold Path is not with them, then no matter how good they are, how famous, psychic or whatever, not important, understand? But if they have Noble Eightfold Path, they have right view, they understand life very clearly, then the way they conduct themselves, their action, speech and thought process are very well refined and properly conducted, and they live their livelihood in accordance and they live their life in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. And these are people whom you know, they have wisdom, they have blessing, they have understanding, they are the wise one. So you need to have some form of cultivation to understand all this. Then the other thing that the Buddha talked about is to honor those who are worthy of honor. Understand not? That's why you must honor your parents. Understand not? For they give you life. They did so much thing for you. They sacrificed for you. Or any good friend or kin with us who has done a lot of wholesomeness and good things for you. Respect and gratitude. You must give them due respect, gratitude and honor. People who have helped you before, guided you, which has been of great blessing to you. So you should actually honor them. Then the second one is, this is what we just now try to share. The Buddha told the Deva to reside in a suitable locality, to have done meritorious action in the past, and to have set oneself on the right course towards emancipation or enlightenment. This constitutes supreme blessings. Means you stay in a place, in a locality, which is suitable for cultivation asana. Then the other thing is, you must have done meritorious action. Means the 10 meritorious action, you must have cultivated them. If you have them, means you must have developed a lot of what they call spiritual cultivation. Because if you go to the temple, if you participate in Dhamma session, all the 10 meritorious action you will do. Just like I explained to you. Every time you come for all these sessions, Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, or whatever activity, first thing you do is what? You pay respect, isn't it? Then you develop your renewal of sila. Then you redeem metta and all those things. Then you make offering. Then you got opportunity to do donation to Kayamita Fund. And Kayamita Fund help you to do a lot of other wholesomeness. So dana sila bhavana you already do. Then reverential salutation. Then you meditate. You share merit. You transfer merits. You straighten your views. Then you do all the service and all those things. And all these constitute meritorious action. So that's why the Buddha said, to have done meritorious action in the past is a real blessing. So all these constitute real blessing. That's why do not underestimate that you only come for 2 hours in a week. That 2 hours, I already told you, if you really, really partake properly with understanding, is better than a person who has lived one full life of 70, 80 years doing all the good things. It cannot match that 2 hours of merits that you receive. Because when you are participating or partake in this session, you have understanding, you keep your precept understanding, you train your mind, you develop understanding. Then with the spiritual faculty, the precept and the cultivation and the understanding, you listen attentively, then you straighten your view. Then you rejoice and all these are done at that level of understanding and cultivation. No? And your merit is no ordinary merit anymore, understand? No? You are not just a lay person, no. You are a lay person who keeps the precept, understand the importance of the spiritual faculty, cultivate them, develop them, train them, develop heedfulness. And you every time listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, develop the understanding, and determine to go this way. And you make your vow, your aspiration, and all these offerings of flower or whatever, and you invoke power of merits and all those things. So all these are very, very fertile conditions for you to progress along the power of Dhamma. Then with this base, you somehow partake in this sharing, listening to the Dhamma and meditating, and together with the Kayamita cultivate. That's why the whole of the cultivation is very different. the blessings and the merits that come with the individual kayamitas, they are very different. That's why I tell you the kayamita force is very different. Even as an individual, you are very different after you have developed all this understanding. So that blessings that come with this sutta, you will see most of them, the Buddha already taught you how to do and you are already doing it. That's why you have great blessings. That's why after you know the Dhamma, your life changed, your life was transformed. You like very blessed, very fortunate. Then you seldom have problems. Then a lot of things would go your way, not like before. Okay, so this second one, any question or not so far? The third one is, the second one got three, to reside in a suitable locality, that one you all have. Then to have done meritorious action in the past, you also have. Then to have set oneself on the right course towards emancipation, this one also you have, understand that? Because you have developed this understanding and you determine to cultivate, to become enlightened, to liberate your mind. So all these three you fulfill. So the first two is already done. Third one is, the Buddha said, vast learning, perfect handicraft, a highly trained discipline and pleasant speech, this constitutes supreme blessing. This one, not easy, but some of you have, understand that. What is vast learning? Vast learning means you have developed understanding in a very wide manner, understand that. Not only spiritual, academic-wise, means within the academic field, whether you are a science student or art student, or an IT graduate. Then, apart from that, you also have vast learning of other things, like spiritual understanding, or certain type of interest that you may develop. So, vast learning and perfect handicraft. So, I don't know why the Buddha mentioned handicraft. This one I cannot really explain to you because I'm not good in this. Handicraft means ladies, very good at needlework, cooking. Cooking is not a handicraft. Sewing. Then, like when we went to China, you see a lot of nice handicraft, the painting and all those things. So anyway, he used the word perfect handicraft. Perfect. I play chess, can I play carom, I can. Then I invest stock market, also very good. That one also perfect, but not handicraft. Miss. I think, if I'm not wrong, vast learning together with perfect understanding of certain aspect of life, I think. Certain aspect of life that you are good at. Like some are very good at what they call household work. They do their duty very well as a mother. I think that is what the Buddha meant. Not necessarily handicraft. means perfect perfect aspect of certain livelihood. Means when you live your life, you develop perfection of certain understanding that are very useful for humanity and mankind and for yourself. Then a highly trained discipline means you are very disciplined, understand? That one I have. I'm very disciplined. You don't try to come and talk to me on all those things. Although I can joke with you, but when it comes to certain thing, principle is principle, understand? Then I always tell my staff and subordinate, even my bosses also, I tell them, I don't like people who lie. You can do anything, I say, you don't lie. That is the first criteria. I say, you got problem, you let me know. Then I can help you to resolve it. But you don't want to lie behind my back and do all those funny things. The moment I catch you lying, that's it. don't say I don't give you a chance. So all this is what they call, you have principle. You are very highly disciplined. So there are certain things you cannot compromise on, not in life. So that's why you have to be very determined, very disciplined. When you know these are not conducive, you are not supposed to do, you should not do. Because it brings about so much repercussion. That's why I like the five precepts. The moment I understand and see the importance and danger of it, it like tell you from inside, you know. Not until you don't believe, you know, in Hokkien it's Bukala Bosangsita. Then you cannot do one, no. You date serious one, no. You cannot violate one. You will not violate one. Yeah. It becomes like that one. That's why the Buddha use here, a highly trained discipline and pleasant speech. This one is very important. This one, I think, you can develop and learn. Speak in a very pleasant and very, what they call, kind, gentle, and pleasant speeches. Anasana, that brings about harmony, that brings about love, joy, understanding. Don't go and create the four type of opposite speeches. The what they call the four wrong speeches. They are harsh speech. Then angry, violent speeches. Then don't lie, don't deceive. Then the other one is frivolous speech. Then don't backbite. Say bad things behind people's back and all those things. So these are all wrong speech. So this third one is also not difficult. If you can develop vast learning, means spiritual understanding. Academic, of course, it depends on what you have in your past earlier on. You are academically very good. You excel, which I actually have it, because this life I academically very very good on. Very, very strong. I excel actually. I more or less top my state, Kedah State, the school. I did very well academically. Then I enter university, MU. That time very difficult to enter, and able to manage to go into civil engineering too. And it's actually very difficult. My whole school, I think, I was the only one that went into MU civil engineering. There were one or two more that later came in. They did electrical. So because of that, this is what the Buddha meant. He said, vast learning. So whatever that you may not develop earlier on, now you can develop through the spiritual understanding. Vast learning on the spiritual side means Dhamma. So that's why you spend more time developing the Dhamma understanding, to develop vast learning. Then you can also expand your understanding onto other fields that can be of interest. Like now the scientific new field. Then perfect, he call it handicraft. I don't think it's handicraft. Something that you can develop until you are very good at. There are a few things that I develop in this life until I'm very good. Like playing chess, carom, stock investment, or card game also I'm very good. Mahjong, whatever I want to learn, I can do it very well. I don't know why. Then pleasant and gentle speeches also, this life I learn. Earlier on also, like most of us, when we were born, because nobody taught us, we were very harsh and very crude. We get unhappy, then we react sometimes towards our own parents too, and sometimes towards our own friends, brothers and sisters. I mean, these are what they call character that you develop when you are young. But as you understand the Dhamma, then you understand the appropriateness of noble evil power, right speech, you start to develop the understanding and you change. And when you change, you become so much more beautiful, understand? And you can get a lot of things done. No? I really like I go government office or go bank or whatnot. When you talk to the people very nicely, even in my office, I don't know why. Everywhere I go and work, people like me. All my staff, they like me. Even Malays, no? They come and tell me, you know, Chitty, you banyak ong. Every time they come and ask me to like give recommendation to apply low cost or sign for what, they get one. No? He said, all the other officer came before me, one, they go and ask them, he said, tak dapat semua. But Chitty, you banyak ong. Oh, they used to come and tell me, you know. Oh, and they really very happy when I meet up with them. And if I visit their house, I tell you, he cannot sleep all night, the staff. Because that time, very seldom we have this type of occasion to meet up with this. I got so much of this, what they call junior staff. I got near to 600 of these workers, you know. Junior technician and workers, artisan and they call laborers and all those things. So, actually that whole university was very big when I was in charge. I got a lot of staff under me. So, all this you can develop, cultivate. The fourth blessing is, this one I think most of you can do. The Buddha said to support your own parents. The support of father and mother, he said, you must support them. You must have filial piety. Then you must have gratitude towards them. Because when you are young, they give you life. They care for you. They sacrifice for you. They work so hard for you. Understand? So you must have gratitude. That one Hui Rong, I think, sure got on. No, he very, very... I saw how he attend to the parents in Taiwan. And I think most of us, we really, really love our parents. So this one, you can really develop it. To support your parents. Then to cherish your wife and your children. Care for them, love them, support them, do your duty towards them. So cherishing of wives should be the other way around also, husband, spouse, I think here they put wife on it, not fair. And your children. And have peaceful occupation, means right, livelihood. This constitutes supreme blessing. Means what? You do your worldly duty properly, understand? Worldly duty, understand? Towards your parents, towards your family members, towards your wife and your children, even your own friends, brothers, sisters, colleagues, and staff, workers, employer, employee. So all these are explained clearly in the Sigalawada Sutta. The sutta for householder. Then the fifth one is righteous conduct, liberality, the helping of relatives, and living a blameless life. This constitutes supreme blessing. So to have righteous conduct is a very important thing. Is you conduct yourself righteously. You don't take side. You don't deceive. You don't mislead. You don't cheat and do all those funny things. Then wherever you got condition, you can help. You should help. Especially your own loved ones, your relatives, your close friends and all those things. Then live a blameless life. Means you act accordingly. This constitutes supreme blessing. So this one can be cultivated. The sixth one is to cease and abstain from all evil. This one, once you keep your precept, you sure have it. Then forbearance with respect to intoxicant. You keep your precept, you sure cannot. Then steadfast in virtue. Same. This one is all about precept. So if you keep your precept, this constitutes supreme blessings. Yeah. Then the sixth one, yeah, or the seventh one already. Yeah. Okay, you must have this humility. You all have humility. Don't be egoic. Then reverence means have respect for those who are worthy of respect. Respect your parents, your elders, those who are worthy of respect. Then have contentment. Very important. When you have contentment, then the other one is gratitude. Followed by opportunity, hearing of the Dhamma. This constitutes supreme blessing. So this one is, most of you have. Like, humility you should have. Then reverence you should have too. To those who are worthy of respect. And also your elders, your parents and all those things. Then contentment. If you are contented, your life is very different, very beautiful. You are very happy. And when you have contentment, all of the negativity like envy, jealousy, all gone. Then when you have gratitude, your heart open up. You become very different. You have a lot of gratitude towards whomever who has helped you in whatever way. Then you have gratitude towards those who have guided you, advise you, care for you, provide for you. So many ways to express your gratitude. Then opportunity, what they call opportune hearing of the Dhamma, means when you have a lot of opportunity to listen to the Dhamma and you partake in it. This constitutes supreme blessing. So this one also can be done. Next one also you can do it, is it? You must have patience. Then you must be obedient, understand? Towards the wise and those who really you should obey. Means like your parents. Not to say you obey them 100%, absolutely, no. Whatever that is proper in accordance, you should not disobey, understand? Because if it's for the good, why not? So, patience, obedience, then sight of a samanas means a true cultivator, like a monk, or a what they call holy person. So they call it samana. And religious discussion at due season means you attend Dhamma class, Dhamma discussion, Dhamma talk and all those things. So if you have this constitutes supreme blessings. So all this can be cultivated. Then the next one is more difficult. This one you have to develop the cultivation. He said self-control, pure life. Perception of the Noble Truth means you must have perceived the Four Noble Truths. And the realization of Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. So this one is not so easy if you are still cultivating on the path. But if you determine, it can be done. And then when you realize the enlightenment, it constitutes supreme blessing. This one really is supreme blessing. Even before that, when you can live your life accordingly, the holy life, with self-control means you keep your precept, you avoid evil to good, you purify your mind, you determine, you cultivate. Then you have this three-turning cultivation, perception of Noble Truth. Means you continue to listen, then you reflect, contemplate, then you develop the cultivation to penetrate, to realize the enlightenment. So when you do all this, we are following the advice of the Buddha. And when you can realize that cessation of form and mind, which is Nibbana, that constitutes supreme blessings. So this one is more difficult, but it can be done. Then the next one is, he whose mind does not flutter by contact. This one is very useful. With worldly contingents, sorrowless, stainless, and secure. And this constitutes supreme blessing. So means this one also, either you are already enlightened, or you are very near to enlightened. Otherwise, it's very difficult to cultivate this one. Because you say, he whose mind does not flutter, means you already have equanimity, born of wisdom, or you have stable samadhi. That's why when the mind come into contact with sense basis, the mind does not flutter anymore. Means unwavering, not stirring. With worldly conditions, means whatever you experience through your senses. So to have that, you must already cultivate it and have great samadhi or wisdom, equanimity, upeka. Then sorrowless, stainless, and secure. Means no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more even the slightest unhappiness, stainless. And very secure inside, means very confident, full of understanding. This constitutes supreme blessing. This one also not so easy, but if you really cultivate, it is possible. Then the next one is, this one summarizes everything, is it? To those who feeling matters such as all this that has been described, everywhere they go, they are invincible. And in every way, wherever they move, they are happy. So if you can live your life following all the above blessings, and you have this state of mind, everywhere invincible, in every way moving, you are very happy, peaceful, and full of understanding. These are the supreme blessings. So the last one is, he summarized everything above. When you can really have them and live it, then he said, these are supreme blessing. No more, this constitute supreme blessing. So he said, these are supreme blessings. So with this, the Buddha end the Mangala Sutta, the Sutta on the supreme blessing. So now you count, how many do you have? Actually, most of the front 7 or 8, I think you all can develop, and most of you have them. It's only the last 3. The last 3, you must have penetrated the Dhamma, developed the understanding, and at least have a glimpse of Nibbana. Then you can have the last 3. And all these constitute great blessings. So with this, I end the sharing. You got any question? You can ask. Anybody got any question? Or anything you want to share? How you find the sutta? You find it interesting, useful, Definitely. In fact, most of the thing that happened to our life, they have a lot to do with karma. But whatever karma is, you must always remember. Let me drink first. When it comes to karma, you must understand one very important thing. The past conditioners, understand? That's why we are born our karma, head of our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So the past has a lot of bearing on you, understand not? Because of this right view in regards to the law of karma. You are born of it, head of it, conditioned, supported, and you are what you are because of it. But it doesn't mean that you cannot do anything about it, understand not? So for those who have the wisdom, the Buddha already explained very clearly. The past you cannot change. Past is already gone, understand? It's already in the what they call nature's law, law karma. They govern. But moment to moment life passes by, they are new condition, understand? So the past condition you, but it does not dominate over you. Understand or not? Understand or not? You understand this statement or not? The past condition you, but it does not dominate over you. Understand or not? Because moment to moment, you still have a choice. Understand or not? You can still introduce new conditions. Understand or not? That's why your karma, which is the summation of all the moments that you have lived, every segment of your life. So that summation, when you start to introduce new conditions from now onward with this understanding, you can create new transformation towards this nature, karmic nature. So that's why, for those who understand, they say, the past condition you, but it does not dominate over you. Means moment to moment, when you have this Dhamma understanding, you can make a big difference to your life. You can start to change, and you change for the better. Ah, yeah, Jay, yes. Yeah, use the mic, yeah. Thank you.
My point was the relationship between blessings and karma. Because if you have the conditions to practice and achieve, say, the first seven that you're talking about, then it may be due to karma. Of course, it's not fully karma, because if you have the condition and you don't practice, you also don't receive the merit. So blessings come with the merits, or the merits come when you practice. I
understand what you are trying to arrive at. Okay, good. Thanks, Chui. So, according to Chui, which is true, because whatever blessings that you can develop, let's say this life, you have the condition to develop them. It's all partly because of your good karma, that's not. Without that good karma, you don't have this condition, you cannot develop. But like Chui also understand, following what I explained just now. If you have the good condition, you make the aspiration, then the condition arise. But you are not serious, what happened? You never do it, Anasana. Like you make aspiration, imina punyang kamina. Every session you very, what they call, full of faith, very serious. But you don't see the significance, no. You say, yeah, Buddha advised chan, I chan lah. Understand not? Then you don't go and make strong determination, no. Understand not? To really, really do it, no. So you make that aspiration for causes and conditions to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized as soon as possible. So the condition came, let's say this life, understand not? You managed to avoid the foolish. But sometimes your craving tempt you, understand not? Even though you manage to avoid, but somehow, because you actually encounter them before, then you saw how they go and have fun, understand not? Understand not? Like womanizing and all that. Then you are tempted, understand not? Means you didn't make the aspiration with understanding strong enough. So you actually can be influenced. So that craving can tempt you into associating with them, even though you chant. Understand? But when you chant with understanding and determine to avoid the heedless and the foolish, you will know one. The moment you see them, you will know one. Naturally, through the understanding, you will avoid them. Or the causes and conditions will somehow... That's why I told you my story before, when I was young. I was in this notorious place, you know. It's like Tai Kong, or that one, with all the gangsters. But very funny, you know, I got 9 brothers and sisters. All my other brothers and sisters all kena. I never kena. They never come and disturb me. Even my eldest brother, he know, he passed the money to me to keep for him. I say, why you don't want to keep yourself? He said, I don't know why they don't disturb you. He passed the money to me, you know. He saw them from far, he know get into trouble, he passed the money to me, then he walk. Then he get into trouble. Then he check his pocket, no money. Then later he came back to me and asked back for the money and he gave it back. Oh, definitely. When your nature is like that, you really avoid them.
And I cannot get involved, you know, although I was born there. You know. Of course, conditioning, definitely there. All the bad words, all the foul language, that one cannot escape. I go to school, the best school in Kedah, English school. I don't know English. Nobody taught me English. That's why standard one, I last in the class. Standard two, I second last in the class. Then they very scared of me, you know. Yeah, I only speak Hokkien, which is the dialect of the state as well. And I can tell you that time terrible, you know. 10 words, 7 words is foul language, you know. Oh, so violent, you know, at that time. The way they talk is like that one, you know, the speech. So as a young kid, you have all this conditioning, you know. Then after first 2 years, after I listened to all the what they call singing, ba ba black sheep, and you then 1, 2, I learned English through singing one. I cannot understand that one. Through singing one. Then I know how to pronounce and speak, but I cannot understand the word until standard 3. But the moment I understand the language and the word, I top the class already. Very funny one. When I don't understand, I last, second last. I second last was because arithmetic. I score 100. Standard 2. All the other papers still 0. And standard 1, 10 subject all 0. Until my father panic. So, relating to Chui's question, when you make this aspiration, if you are not clear and you don't have what they call very strong determination, even the condition may arise, then if you really didn't do it with understanding, you can succumb to temptation, understand not? Wrong view, craving and all things. Then sometimes is you aspire to meet up with the wise, but you never determine to recognize who are the wise, you don't cultivate enough. So that's why initially, before you cultivate the wise one, you cannot know one. Yeah, you use your thought base. You look for all the title, the rope, and all those things. Understand? So when you try to actually judge based on external, it's a very difficult one. Understand? So that's why when you have the understanding, when you make this aspiration and this, what they call, vow, you must determine to recognize. Then the best is, one of the Kayanamita told me last time, he said, but still not enough, no. Meet, recognize, and follow. He said, you don't follow, still. Recognize, no use, cannot, did follow. You say, you make aspiration to meet, recognize, and follow, and cultivate together. Otherwise, still can go wrong. So, Chui, regarding your that one, you are right. Means you need to have some good karma. Understand? But even you don't have, like I explained just now, past condition you tremendously, but it does not dominate over you. Means this life you got conditioned to listen to this Dhamma, then you determine from now onward you want to change. You have to start from somewhere. Understand? The beginning point could be just this life. Understand? Because you have friends, understand? Like that day at Wu Ping Ching Se, one of the lady, she was having big problem. He went for a retreat, then I think he got into very big problem. And he asked question. Then later on, not enough time, he came and asked me after the what they call meditation. Then I explained to her, I say, your coming obstruction is very strong. That's why you kena upside down. She went to retreat. She got so much fear. She cannot sleep. She's scared she sleep, she will die. Cannot be. And got so much problem. Then I told her, you're not so bad. You still got the condition to come and meet me and ask me this question. Means you got good past karmic condition. Then she looked at me. She cannot understand. I say, just like you're this good friend that brought you here, I say, because she brought you here, she created that condition for you to come.
Because in the past, you must have also brought somebody to meet somebody who had the understanding. That's why you have this condition for other people to bring you to somebody who understands. That is what I mean by condition. Then when she has the condition, very funny, somehow, he just cannot get it. I try. I even use everything that I can see, any slightest possibility to benefit that form and mind. I try. Cannot means cannot. Completely obstruct. There is no pain. I just finished this first actually. Somehow, after that class, she's supposed to go back to Penang already. She just came down from Penang. Then, quite an elderly lady. Then after that, somehow, don't know what happened, she didn't go back. Then, yesterday, yesterday, he called a friend. That friend make appointment with me, and lunchtime came and see me. Then I explained again, cannot means cannot. That fear was so intense. He keep on asking me, so what must I do? Die already. I said, no, what must you do? You must listen to what I say. When you understand what I say, you have faith, you follow what I say, you will definitely recover. Because of some karmic thing, very severe. And this life, kena, very strong. So much fear that she has actually gone into great depression already, a lot of problems. So because of that, sometimes when there is no condition, means no condition. I say, I wish you all the best. I say, your life, you better decide how you want to live. End of the day, I have to tell her this. Your life, you hold the key to your own destiny, to be happy. Why can't you choose to be happy and live? Don't go and worry about life and all those things and create all those suffering. You suffer not enough, man. I say, so many years already, Cannot go in means cannot go in, No, karmic obstruction there. I say, have to ask for forgiveness, repent. If you don't do that, the obstruction will be there. And he cannot listen or cannot see or cannot understand or somehow the thing is like will obstruct. Cannot penetrate in. But the moment he do that, ask for forgiveness all the thing, straight away, like very funny, suddenly you understand or suddenly you like wake up one. Then you can listen, then you can do one. Many of them actually clear after they ask for forgiveness, repentance. But when you keep on, what must I do? See already. Means the mind is already not in the right. He cannot do. She got doubt. She got no faith. Understand? They keep on telling me the old story, the tape recorder. I go retreat. Before the retreat, I say I don't want to listen to all this because these are all wrong thought. Otherwise, you won't have this fear. Understand? Because you keep on doing this, that's why you are what you are now. Understand? If you don't develop the understanding to change, you will forever be trapped inside this like poverty cycle. Trapped, I say. You can never come out. The only way for you to come out is to listen, I say. Don't go and repeat all those thoughts, understand? Don't go and tell me what you want to tell me, understand? Because this has been going on for too long. Depressed people do that. Like a cocoon of thought, understand? Inside there. Like a tape recorder keep on playing on. You ask Alicia, she know. She can't even listen how to read. That's my problem. Last time I gave you one book, I also forgot it. But I forgot which book. You must let me read. Which book? Asian Pa, is it Asian Pa? Asian Pa, I should have given her Asian Pa. But this lady is 40, 50 years in the Dhamma already, Go in and out of retreat one, How?
Some more give her ancient power. She think you look down upon her. Right? Oh. That's why not easy. Not easy. This one is karmic, very severe karmic. Actually, sorry. Yes. Correct, yes. Yeah, the whole of the Mangala Sutta, yeah, the last three, can be fulfilled. Yeah, can be fulfilled. Because when you already have your past, the blessing will be there and as well. That's why when you listen to this Mangala Sutta, just like Chui just now, he shared with us, he said, based on her understanding, he said, very likely you already have your blessings from your past. You will know what to do. Then this life, you can actually fulfill them all. Like just now I mentioned, the last three, only enlightened being can fulfill. If you really seriously, with the blessing you cultivate, you can get it fulfilled. This very life is possible. With the condition are there. The sasana is still there. That's why, do not allow the thought to project and, cannot or not for me, where can. Monk full time also cannot. You think like that, you sure cannot. But if you determine, like based on what Chui understand, you have the condition, like I said, you can have the condition to become Kayanamita. You have your past, I tell you. You have your strong merits and blessing. And most of you, just now we go through, the first seven, you have the blessings. Even you don't have also, you can cultivate them because they are actually within your means. You can understand them already. And you just have to perfect it, streamline it, and do it very well. Then after that, when you have all this in place, you make your aspiration determined, then you diligently, with the faith, you cultivate. You will definitely penetrate. The Buddha also mentioned under the four foundations of mindfulness, maximum 7 years, isn't it? Not so long. If you're lucky, 1 week, count him. 1 week also can. So we go Cameron Highland 9 days, you got 2 extra days. Actually, it's not difficult, I tell you. Not difficult. Because if you have the understanding, then you develop the cultivation with understanding, actually very fast. Very fast. I remember last time when I did. Within 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness comes. And after that, it's plain sailing. Very, very easy. Very fast. The mindfulness must come, daily mindfulness. You must do the bowing, everything. The daily mindfulness, until it's very stable. Then when the mindfulness is in you, when you are, your form and mind is able to have that within you, stabilized, the form and mind will know. It will know what sati is. Well, you do until the sati come out. Until the sati become a part of you. Then you know what sati is. At that time, you will progress very fast. That's why I say, don't be too eager to know anything. You just develop the bowing, do your whatever daily mindfulness, until the sati stabilizes, until the body and mind move as one. Then you will know what the sati is on, no words on. Then when you know what sati is, you don't need to cultivate already. That understanding will allow you to understand a lot of things. Like what Song did. He bow, then when he connect at Ananda, Rayong, Ajahn Ananda, then he come back. Even when he was there after the second day at night, when he read my note, he understand already. How come before that he cannot understand? Because the sati not there yet, Anasara. And he was able to connect was because he asked for forgiveness 6 months before that, after Cameron Highland trip, he did the thing. Then he has been doing it for 6 months. Then when the condition fall into place, then when he go there, he did the bowing. Then, you know, like a retreat, you continuously do it. Then because karmic obstruction already gone. Then when you do, the condition fall into place, that's why that chanting came. Then suddenly it connect, because in the past he did before. That's why he can go so fast.
Otherwise, not so easy one. And cultivator like him is very rare one, I tell you. Very, very rare one. Because he already had the faith, the saddha, virya, and determination, perseverance. But because of karmic obstruction, he cannot penetrate. He was blocked for 14 years. Even doing those type of meditation. Then within that 6 months, when he understood, well, after the Cameron retreat, he came and see me. He talked to me. Then he know where he go wrong. Then I say, you have to ask for forgiveness. I say, very likely it's the karmic obstruction. Well, he said he tried everything. Just cannot. Read my note 6 times, cannot understand it. I say, you sure cannot understand. Yeah, you have not developed the real mindfulness. You are doing thought-based, I say. Then only he start to change. Then he start to do. Then later on, when he connect, he was full of joy. Then the whole of that 2 months, a lot of things just happened. Yeah, he has already done it in the past. Once the coming obstruction gone, he connect, he moved very fast. He go back to his level very fast. So now he's in Burma. So he should thank you, Yun Chan, for bringing her, him there. That time you organized, only a few of them went. Sadhu. Very good. Yeah, he has the condition at that time. That's why when he came back, he was so different. No? So when I saw him, he was full of the first thing he contacted me. He said, thank you so much. I said, what happened? Oh, he said, I got a lot of things to tell you. Then he came and talked to me. You know. Then when he shared with me, I knew already. He connected already. Then I told him, he said, after that, this thing will happen. Then really, exactly. At first he said, full of joy, no need to eat. I said, no. After a while, you'll be very hungry. He go and look for food. I said, you don't worry, you go and eat. I said, middle of the night, you go and look for food. But this thing, when it connect, is very different. It need a lot of energy. Initially, it need a lot. Yeah, no need to eat one. Keep on coming on. Then he said, like in Botswana, he go jogging also. Zoop, suddenly come. Then after that, no more. Then after that, zoop, come again. Well, when you connect, it's like that. Why? It keep on happening. Understand? That nature with that thing, it keep on happening. But when you have not developed it, nothing. That's why last time I told you, those who see, they always see. Truth is everywhere. The characteristic of nature is everywhere. Why can't you see? In the midst of lion nature. For those who see, they always see. But before you have the silent mind, the heedfulness, you cannot see one. Very funny one. You are full of thought. Clouded the mind. We better end. What's the time now? 10:35. Oh, 40 already. Almost 40. 10:37. Okay, we end. We will do the sharing of merits. Then maybe you brought your computer, isn't it? You check. You could bring your computer. Very good. Hui Rong can help to download. The Friday talk also, they were waiting for you. Then check with Sui An. He will be back. But today, he should be back by now. Tomorrow, you text him for the Sunday talk. Friday one, Hui Rong can help to download. The Friday talk is very good. Sabha Asavak Sutta. Very, very good, that one. You should listen to it. Then I will do the notes next Tuesday, which will be more useful, more meaningful. After you listen to the talk, you will understand the notes very well. Okay, now we do the sharing of merits with the devas. Aka sata cha bumata deva naga madika punyang pang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anubodhantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nya tinang ho chu sukita hontu nya tayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nya tayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, now we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. Where is the page? Okay. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina ma me bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yavanivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that which we have just acquired, may we never follow the foolish but only the wise and the enlightened one, so that nibbana can be realized. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.